Grace to you and peace from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. This wonderful promise. Truly I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. This should be a source of such great comfort. But how often you trust what you see, your own understanding, rather than what he promises. Our Lord prepared the disciples and you for all that would come with the consequences of his death and resurrection in your life. Truly I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. But then too, this is so often mistaught, misunderstood. Does it mean that I can just ask for anything I want as long as I pray sincerely with a tag in Jesus' name and God will grant it? And if I don't receive it, is it maybe because I didn't pray hard enough or have a strong enough faith? No. To pray in Jesus' name is certainly not a blank check to fulfill all your worldly dreams and passions and not a magical formula. In Jesus' name, and think about it, it's prayer that is shaped by God's word. What child's will should not be also the same of his parent? You know, for the Lord, speaking teaches us how to speak, to pray. And Jesus alone, our only mediator between God and man, not a prayer to a saint or Mary. In Jesus' name, it literally means God saves. Thus, we're asking the Father for all of the saving gifts that have been put in that name, a name given to you in baptism. So do well to pray as Jesus taught you, the Our Father, thy will be done. And mean it. To trust all your hopes and self and loved ones, thy will be done. And it is for you. In ways you can't begin to count, he gives you even far beyond what you ask. And your loved ones that you pray for, don't stop. Commend them to the Lord and realize he loves them even more than you do. And when you're tempted to think your prayer won't do any good, be reminded of Jesus' promise, ask, you will receive, that your joy may be full. I mean, think about it, like Solomon, how did he pray? The Lord told him, ask for whatever he wanted. And Solomon didn't pray for riches or health, long life, or even his enemies conquered. Instead, Solomon prays for a wise, understanding heart that he might rule well. Prayer not focused on the self, but that would be faithful to God and love for others. I mean, what a lesson for you. Jesus says unequivocally, whatever, yes, whatever you ask in my name, he will give it to you. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. I mean, and we ask, and it seems like we don't receive. Our joy isn't full. Loved ones still rebel. Friends betray us. Families divided. Our loved ones still get sick and die. Our bodies fail. And we have joy in Christ, but also uncertainty, sadness amid a lot of life's messes. How often we wonder if prayer matters, if the Lord really has our cause, cares enough to act. How easy to be frustrated with God that he doesn't seem to be doing what you think he should be doing. Repent. We're called to live by faith, to wait upon the Lord. And in prayer, like no other place, we come up hard against the hidden will of God. I mean, we know what he has said, what he has done, what he gives, how hard we don't see his perfect will. So pray with boldness, confidence. Not what we see or understand or get all we want, but joy in what he promises. He holds my lot. He works all things, even my failures, for my good. That my joy may be full in what he brings. Forgiveness. Daily, constant care. Eternal life. And whatever. Ask. And you will receive. If not now, then you will have it one day for all eternity in the world to come. He knows what is best. And we focus our attention not on his hidden will and speculate, but on what he has promised, on who he is. I mean, we cannot know his hidden will, so we exercise the freedom he's given us. We choose things in this creation before us to use it in God-pleasing ways. What we can afford, what seems to be best in our circumstance. I mean, whether it be best for our health or just best for our taste buds at the moment to be unhealthy. For we trust that God is a loving Father to bless our activity. And we hang our hats on that, on the promise that the Father who's given us his only Son will also give us all things, that all things work together for good for those who love him. That your joy may be full. I mean, as hard as for like Israel to see how God was blessing them, working for their good, well, when they're defeated, dragged off to Babylon. I mean, and so many other examples of scripture, like today in Numbers, people sinful, dying from snake bite, look to the one cursed upon a hellish tree that you might live. It's so hard to see how God is working, keeping his promises for you. I mean, especially when we see our loved ones, ourselves, I mean, struggling, hurting, broken, dying. Yeah, dying. I love going to cemeteries. I mean, there's so many untold stories, but they're known to the Lord. All their stories. I mean, every time they scraped their knee, he counted every one of their laughs, every tear. Even as he counted the hairs on their head, he found them all fascinating. His work, innumerable ways in their untold stories, for he is always compassionate to his children. Now, I don't find many of you all that interesting, but the Lord finds all of his children fascinating. Loves the sound of your voice. Even more than when your parent endeared your first words. Your voice holds the attention of the creator of the universe. You think about that. What you have. You know, Martin Luther's famous last words, "Wir sind alles Bettler." We are all beggars. I mean, how true. I mean, this is the foundation of prayer, also the essence of faith. We are all beggars to whom God so richly bestows upon us the treasures of heaven and his kingdom for Christ's sake. I mean, we have nothing to give, to offer God, while we need God to give us all things that matter for our good. We pray, we ask for everything because nothing properly belongs to us and we're not worthy to ask for anything. We are beggars, yet we are God's beggars, declared righteous, pleasing to him. He doesn't turn away even a single one of your prayers. He's not holding out on you, although you may sinfully think it. He's constantly acting for your good, for you, beyond comprehension. even answering prayers you fail to pray. And even today, in answer to your greatest need and prayer, unites himself to you from the altar. I said these things to you that in me, that's sacramental, spoken the night he brings his supper, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. You will have tribulation. Some of you know it very well. Some of you know it very well. Your anguish will not even survive to be a memory. And cemeteries are just temporary. All of you just need to stop. Stop. Realize the joy, the peace, the life you have, not of this world, that's yours in your risen Savior. Take heart. I have overcome the world. Lift up your head. Rejoice. Sing. And cry out, dear beggar. Ask. You will receive, that your joy may be full. Take heart. I have overcome the world. That is yours. That is now. That is forever. In the name of Jesus, amen.